couple of weeks ago, the associate pastor at St. Thomas over in Woodley Park called me and he said, "I've got to give a talk on sacraments. What should I say?" Well, all priests do sacraments, but I teach them and have taught them for more years than I can remember at Catholic U. In fact, I teach graduate students, and sometimes I teach a course in one sacrament or maybe two, never all seven. And he wanted a TED talk. I thought for a moment and I winged it. I said, "What are sacraments but speaking and touching in God's name?" And then I said, "Three get us into the church and keep us in the church: baptism, confirmation, Eucharist. Two designate our vocations in church: marriage and ordination. And two are for healing: penance and anointing." And then I said, "You're welcome." Part one was my own, and part two just happened to be the Catechism of the Catholic Church. But the gospel tonight gives us the biblical precedent for what sacraments are and what they do. The leper asked Jesus, and Jesus responded to him by speaking to him and touching him. Then in the gospel, Jesus sends the leper forth to the priest because a major part of leprosy was that you were ostracized for fear that others would catch leprosy. It was contagious. Hence the end of today's first reading: "He shall dwell apart, making his abode outside the camp." In effect, the same thing can happen to us in our society if we are sick or elderly, of whatever age. It can be accompanied with isolation. Sickness sets the sick apart. And having had my own bout with leukemia 2 years ago, I can say I never had pain from the disease. But the greatest pain was the loneliness and isolation. My heroes were those who took me to chemotherapy once a week for 2 months. And my other heroes were those who could send me a text, FaceTime, leave a voicemail message, even when I was too sick to pick up the phone and talk. It's certainly an added plus when in the sacrament of the sick, of all sacraments, the priest touches us and speaks to us in God's name. Last Wednesday night, here at Holy Trinity, at 7 o'clock, Father Campbell presided at the monthly Taizé anointing service, a treasured experience here at Trinity. This morning, in a parish outside of New York City, the pastor and the associate concelebrated a mass for the anointing of the sick for over 100 people, 150 caregivers, followed by a luncheon. They do it 6 times a year. And tomorrow morning, in a parish outside of Richmond, between the two scheduled masses, the pastor will have an anointing service for likely 85 to 90 people and their families. All that is because Vatican II took away the stigma of extreme unction, the last anointing, and made it the sacrament of the sick, to be received whenever one is seriously ill, physically or mentally. Especially poignant when it's done together in church, because again of the isolation, it brings together those who are sick, and it gives the caregivers an immediate support group. They know what it's like, and they share those stories. The priest imposes hands on you, but unlike medical personnel, he touches you not to prick or to probe or take a pulse or give a shot, or even to move you in the bed. The priest touches you in God's name that you can feel strength, attachment, belonging. The priest takes oil, a soothing, soothing, soothing balm compared to the astringents of some topical medicines. They're meant to heal too, but in a different way. He touches your forehead and says, "For this anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit." And then he touches your hands and anoints them and says, "May the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up." Notice the words, help, free you from sin, save you, raise you up. It doesn't get better than that. But to be fair, notice none of those words say be cured. Sometimes anointings cure, but most times they don't. Because the anointing of the sick is meant to offer us a healing on another level, beyond the physical. The anointing of the sick is healing because it restores our relationship with the wider community and the church at a time when we may feel isolated because of our illness. The anointing of the sick is healing because it sets our sights on the here and now and then on the hereafter. We are saved even as we look beyond our sins to life and glory with God. The anointing of the sick is healing because it reminds us of the greater things in life and to be careful of attachments to too many things, which will ultimately pass away anyhow. The anointing of the sick is healing because when we are sick, we are forced to look at what matters in life, a way of clarifying and seeing life through the prism of the resurrection. The anointing of the sick is healing because it sets our hearts beyond the surface and enable us to look into our hearts and to the hearts of others. For those who are not sick, the Eucharist itself is a moment of healing in God's name, speaking and touching in God's name. Lectors and myself speak the word of God to us tonight. We will speak prayers together, sing prayers together. We will touch each other at the sign of peace and touch the bread of life and touch the cup of salvation to receive communion for the forgiveness of sins. At the end of Mass, we go forth, and I will say, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. One way we might do that is to carry through on anointing by speaking and visiting someone who was sick, to touch them, to embrace them, to listen to them. And if not, use all our many, many machines, FaceTime and texting and voicemail and everything else we've got, to reach someone who we know is sick and likely isolated and lonely. Sondheim can write, "No one is alone," but when you're sick, it's hard to believe that you're not alone. Now, I probably will not attend my priest friend's talk on the sacraments. I would intimidate him, but I gave him the outline. Sacraments are speaking and touching in God's name. Three, bring people into church and sustain their membership in the church. Two are for vocation. Two are for healing. Sacraments, speaking and touching in God's name.
I believe in one God.